You guys have sound? Okay. 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 Good. Mic very well. Strange, because it is as loud as it can get. Very strange. Is it low? Good here, loud and clear. Okay, okay, okay. Alrighty. Oh yeah, if you can, if you haven't already, please kneel. And please bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us and for bringing us together for another communion. And we ask that you please bridle my tongue that the truth is spoken, and to please bless us that we may all be blessed during this gathering as we come together to be unified before you and in Christ. And we lift up this church family and all prayers that are in the minds and hearts of your people. And we even pray for those who come against us, and praying for those who don't understand their duty as well. And that you would please convict all of sin, and that you will share your great mercy with us and lead us all to perfect harmony. It is with the help of your Holy Spirit that we pray for these things, and in Jesus' mighty and precious name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. All righty. So, like last time, we're going to, you know, mini something discussion before breaking away. And actually, like what usually happens anyways.
Philippians chapter 3, verse 1 tells us, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous. But for you, it is safe." And so we look at Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, which says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance." And so, brethren, we are blessed that another communion has arrived for us, another communion Sabbath. And we are once again brought together here to partake of this service, which Christ had left behind for us. Now, of course, the hearts of the apostles, when they went to go partake of the service, they were not all ready when Christ was going to do it. Albeit they didn't have an advance notice like we do. So we being blessed, we have advance notice, and so we're admonished that we should prepare for this. As it is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Therefore, at this time, all of our known sins should be confessed, no matter how often or how little it has caused us to fall. It must be put away. And between the precious saints of Christ, there should be no animosity. Seek the forgiveness and fellowship of one another. We must be careful, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, as it is written in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Here, in that area, Satan can gain access to the hearts of the saints. For if we cherish in our hearts feelings of dissatisfaction or disaffection, then how can we come before God and lie to Him, saying that we are one, are willing to be one with one another? Says the scriptures in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9,
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so let us have Christ cleanse us from all defilement, from what we do in our personal lives, to how we interact with one another. Let us not seek the unity of the world, howbeit we should pray that we may be able to live holy and peaceful lives in the world, although we know, of course, it's going to be the enemy is going to stir up the powers against us. Nevertheless, to have ourselves unified with the world is not something we desire. It's not something we should desire. But rather, we should be united with each other and united with Christ and God. It is indeed one thing to have unity with simply each other, for it is possible to unite in sin. But let us, who trust in Christ, unite with each other and in Him and in our Heavenly Father. Says Christ in his prayer to the Father in John chapter 17, verses 18 to 23, "As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them also into the world." Even so have I also sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." First John chapter 1, verses 3 to 4. "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Can our joy be full, brethren, if we are at odds with one another? Can our joy be full if we are separated from Christ? To those who offend, they will feel anger, self-justification. To those whom they have offended, there may be weeping and sorrow. James chapter 4, verses 8 to 12 says, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hearts, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother, and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law, and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver, who is able to save and destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Keep the door to your lips closed against murmuring against one another. Keep the mind closed from the wicked suggestions of Satan. Keep the heart pure from partaking in the sin of murder by being angry with one another without a cause." 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." And so we are all brethren, and the Lord has given us his law, and we are to show that law to the world. But if we speak evil of one another when we are representing Jesus before others, then we're speaking evil of Christ, his character, and God's law.
And why should we thus divide against one another? The world is already divided against us, both by doctrine and by feeling. Why then should we allow a worldly element to exist within our number? Testimonies, Volume 5, page 236, paragraph 3. It says, the world is against us, the popular churches are against us, the laws of the land will soon be against us. If there was ever a time when the people of God should press together, it is now. God has committed to us the special truths for this time to make known to the world. The last message of mercy is now going forth. We are dealing with men and women who are judgment bound. How careful should we be in every word and act to follow closely the pattern that our example may lead men to Christ? With what care should we seek so to present the truth that others, by beholding its beauty and simplicity, may be led to receive it? If our characters testify of its sanctifying power, we shall be a continual light to others, living epistles, known and read of all men. We cannot afford now to give place to Satan by cherishing disunion, discord, and strife. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. But this shall all men know, that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And so let us love one another as Christ has loved us. Let us keep this in mind. Allow not ourselves to feel as if, well, I love this person, but they do not love me. Then find out why you feel like they do not love you. Talk with them, and let your hearts be knit together in Christ's love. This is the unity we should be striving for. Even if something comes up and we may even think we're in the right, regardless, let us seek peace with one another. Now is not the time to give the enemy of righteousness a place in our hearts. We see how close things are to the very end. Then let us end all strife with one another. Then, especially as we see the time approaching, then we can all pray together and more effectively for the blessing of the latter rain which the Lord will grant to us. Luke chapter 11, verse 13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? In Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 to 20, again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And so therefore, brethren, let us truly agree with one another in heart and in mind, in prayer, and in actions. Testimonies, Volume 5, page 388, paragraph 1. We have the theory of the truth, and now we need to ask most earnestly for its sanctifying power. I dare not hold my peace in this time of peril. It is the time of temptation, of despondency. Everyone is beset by the wiles of Satan, and we should press together to resist his power. We should be of one mind, speaking the same things, and with one mouth glorifying God, then we may successfully enlarge our plans and by vigilant missionary effort take advantage of every talent we can use in the various departments of the work. Page 488, paragraph 2. Let each one of us who claims to follow Christ redeem himself less and others more. Esteem himself less and others more. Press together. In union there is strength and victory. In discord and division there is weakness and defeat. These words have been spoken to me from heaven. As God's ambassador, I speak them to you.
Let us not let our sins separate ourselves from God. Hosea chapter 14, verse 4 tells us, I will heal their backslidings. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. God will love us freely. Even the mistakes that we may have made as we think back and come together when our minds are thinking about the things we have done within the past 3 months. Even if we have made mistakes, grave mistakes, the Lord speaks hope to us and to our hearts by telling us that he will heal our backslidings and that he will love us freely. If you have confessed your sins, you're free to be here today. Testimonies, Volume 8, page 11, paragraph 6. The members of the church need now to confess their backslidings and press together. My brethren, allow nothing to come in that will separate you from one another or from God. Talk not of differences of opinion, but unite in the love of the truth as it is in Jesus. Come before God and plead the shed blood of the Savior as a reason why you should receive help and the warfare against evil. You will not plead in vain. As you draw near to God with heartfelt contrition and full assurance of faith, the enemy who seeks to destroy you will be overcome. Revelation chapter 3, verse 12, Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. He shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is in New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. To him that overcometh, Revelation 3:21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father on his throne. So, brethren, let us unite and strive to be overcomers and follow these directions here written by Christ in John chapter 13, verses 12 to 17. It says, So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, a servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. And so this ordinance of humility, which if there are feelings that are cherished against our brethren, will sweep away those feelings if we partake of this ordinance with humble minds and humble hearts. We are brought to the point where we are willing to do this work for our brethren as servants. And if we are willing to serve one another in love, then very easily we can unite together whilst we go out into this world and share the truth of Christ and share the third angel's message, giving that last message of mercy. And so if we have hearts that are willing to do this, then the Lord blesses us with this opportunity. And let us then take these next 15 minutes as we've come together today to wash the feet of our brethren. Let us do this act with hearts of humility, with true desire to please Christ, and hearts of love. So you're going to hear there's going to be some music played for about 15 minutes, and just make sure when you come back that you have your unleavened bread and your grape juice ready. And with that, I will put down the mic.
Call me Master and Lord, and I say well. He called me Master and Lord, and I say well. The song. when your Lord and Master have washed your feet, he also ought to wash one another's feet. He called me Master and Lord, and ye say well. He called me Master and Lord, and ye say well. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you. He called me Master, Lord, and ye say well. He called me Master, Lord, and ye say well. The servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. He called me Master and Lord, and ye say well. He called me Master and Lord, and ye say well. The song.
Sweet success. passing by the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this I see, for my cleansing this my plea. Nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, not a good that I have done. Nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the love.
Amen. All righty. Well, we all should be back now. Lord willing, everyone is back. I'll give it a few moments as they hear my voice come back. But hopefully, Lord willing, you guys have prepared and brought before you the unleavened bread and the grape juice. Alrighty. Praise the Lord that the brethren are so willing to put into the chat, you know, if we have sinned against one another, to please forgive us, being very open, that if any has aught against us, you know, don't hold it back. Approach us, because we're open, we're willing. We are striving unto that perfection in Christ. sometimes it's not always easy to approach, but so for some people it's not always easy to say sorry. But to have the willing heart and to go forward anyways, yeah, it becomes easier. But now, everyone should be back. There should be no unmelted hearts among us. Those who are cherishing anything against any brother or sister at this point, have not revealed it unto them, are cherishing a known sin. And they are unwilling to put away a known sin. Or if we're cherishing some kind of discord or union, disunion against one another, we are truly representing ourselves to Christ, as was Judas. Now, one might not be cast off immediately for their sins, because we know that our God is very, very merciful to us. I praise his name for that. It is a lesson that he teaches each and every single one of us. Be far more willing to give mercy to people. Be far more willing to give mercy and grant them opportunity to see their wrongs and to see their errors. So, one who is unworthy at this point may not be immediately cast off for their sins, but it's possible. And it's not something we want to toy with, because we don't want to toy with mercy. If partaking unworthily of this communion and bringing ourselves together, lying before the Lord, that we are willing to be in unity and harmony with one another, the Lord will look upon that. Because this ordinance is not to be trifled with. The Apostle Paul has made that very clear to us, that the Lord does indeed deal with those who partake of this service in a manner that is displeasing to him. Says the Apostle. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak, and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. What was it that is here mentioned by the Apostle Paul? What was the reason that sickness was so rampant with them? That they had sickly, and even some sleeping among the Corinthians? It is because they ate and drank damnation to themselves. They experienced these things because the Lord judged them for what they had done. But if they had judged themselves, if they had properly examined their walks, if they have done all they could to clear the Lord's highway, so that they could stand next to their brethren in harmony and unity, then the Lord wouldn't have a need to have punished so. So then let us judge ourselves, brethren. Sometimes you might end up judging yourself so harshly, you might go before somebody with something that's not really sin. It is better that we are careful with our walks and that we're willing to clear ourselves of wrongs. The Lord is merciful, as we have seen. Those in the who came to the Day of Atonement were completely kicked out of the camp when they did so unworthily. And yet here, that which we partake in, as we treat, is sort of a mini Day of Atonement at times, or, well, every time. The Lord is still merciful. And He will allow certain things and certain circumstances to happen and take place in our lives so that we may learn not to come against Him. Seriously, praise Jesus for His love and His compassion for us and the opportunities that He grants us. Praise His name for allowing us to bask in His great love and mercy. For He's truly showing to us that He's willing to go to the uttermost for the salvation of His children. And so if there's any here who you've got something running through your mind, confess it. You've got these last final moments. God will forgive, and He will grant mercy. Alrighty. So, if there's nothing, and Lord willing, there is nothing for all of us, there may be something, but may the Lord deal with that appropriately. And so before we partake of this communion, let us all kneel in prayer before our God. And let us bow our hearts before God. Heavenly Father, we thank You for blessing us with this communion, helping us to gain understanding and light into what You would have us do, how You would have us unite with one another. And Father, we pray that You please bless these symbols, this unleavened bread and this grape juice, used to represent the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And grant us of Your Holy Spirit, more of Your Holy Spirit. Bring us more into a perfect union with one another, and a more perfect union with You. Fill our hearts with the love of Christ, the love of His righteousness. Bless our minds with the thoughts of holiness and peace. Your ways are higher than our ways, and Your thoughts higher than ours. Yet we in character strive to be like You. So teach us more and more daily to be just like You. That loving character which we love. We thank You for it. And thank You for sending Your Son to die for our sins and having such unfathomable love for each and every single one of us. Now, Father, we lift these things up to You, praying for the unity of mind and of heart, of doctrine, and of spirit, with the help of Your Holy Spirit, and in the name of our Lord and Savior, we pray. And His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. And so, brethren, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me." And so let us eat of the unleavened bread at this moment.
1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25 says, "After the same manner, he also took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me.'" And so, in remembrance of Christ, let us drink of this cup.
And with that, brethren, the service is ended. We're going to have music,
and then we will do closing prayer. And I'll make one small comment before we close out in prayer.
You alone.
Amen. All right. We're going to close in prayer. And just a small comment that I wanted to make is that if anyone needs any Our Life books in terms of the Sharing the Truth, please contact me.
You can PM me or you can send an email to
through the Contact Us page. But if you can, please kneel. If you haven't already. Or healing leaves. And please, by your hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us and bringing us together again. And now we ask that you please bless the remainder of this holy Sabbath day as well. And please bless that which we're about to get into as well. And please help us to continue to walk the straight and narrow gate. And let us go forward in that work which you have granted us to glorify the Godhead. Thank you for your love and sending us your Son to die for our sins. Thank you for helping us in our hearts so that we can more fully reflect the love that you have. Thank you. So it is with the help of your Holy Spirit that we pray for these things and while that is in the minds and hearts of your people, and even praying for those who come against us. Bless them with ample opportunity to repent and to see and to know the truth and to fully reflect, also have opportunity to fully reflect Jesus. And so it's with the help of your Holy Spirit that we pray for these things. And in Jesus' mighty and precious name that we pray. Amen.